Welcome to Brastack Sunday. It's the 13th day of May, 2018. I'm David Ellis, and other moderators are going to be here with me today. Two are already here, and they can introduce themselves. And as we look forward to a discussion about what is happening on the political landscape in this country in the countdown to general elections on May the 24th, we have had within this past week the release of the Barbados Labour Party manifesto. We anticipate that come Thursday, the Democratic Labour Party will release its manifesto as well. But a lot can happen in just a couple of days. Even one day in politics can bring about a sea change. So, what is our assessment of what has taken place so far? What do we see lying ahead of us? One of the things we want to do today, though, at the start of today's program, as you may well be aware, the Caribbean Court of Justice has arranged this unprecedented Sunday hearing to clarify the right of Commonwealth citizens to vote in our general elections. The background to this is that Professor Eddie Ventose, a St. Lucian national, who's been living here for several years, is seeking to be included on the Barbados Electoral Register. He alleges that under the prevailing laws, he's qualified and entitled to be registered to vote by virtue of being a Commonwealth citizen. The Chief Justice of Barbados, sitting as a trial judge after hearing arguments on the matter, had issued an order compelling the Chief Electoral Officer to allow Professor Ventose to be registered to vote. The Court of Appeal in Barbados on May the 7th ruled that Professor Ventose was entitled to be registered to vote, but stopped short of compelling the Chief Electoral Officer to enroll him on the register of voters. Instead, the court ordered the CEO to determine Professor Ventose's claim within 24 hours. So what is he going to the CCJ for? He's asking the CCJ to declare that as a person who satisfies the necessary requirements, he is entitled to be registered to vote, and to order the CEO to enter his name on the final voters list ahead of its publication this week. Now, Sanka Price, your opening thoughts as we head into today's program.
Good morning, Barbados. Well, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all those wonderful mothers out there. My thoughts, second week of the campaign trail. Well, for sure, one of the major things is this CCJ move, because it would, depending on the decision that is, it would mean that a number of people could be added to the register in the last few days. I'm not sure how significant that would be, but certainly in the St. Michael constituencies, where you have, you know, very small margins of victory, it could make a difference. On the campaign trail itself, we have to, of course, look at what is happening on the platforms. The Democratic Labour Party launched last Sunday. Obviously, we would miss that. And we've had for the whole week repercussions from that. Why that is significant is because they have a meeting today, Carlisle Bay, and the meeting is subtitled the effect that what is it?
The people are looking for answers.
The people need answers. Yeah. That's it. Subtitle Mia. The people need answers. So we have to hear today from them this evening. Certainly, what they will be talking about. Will they be focusing?
There's little or no doubt that this is going to be a focus on her as a personality, mm-hmm. and talking to people who I believe. Relatively close, or very close to the Democratic Labour Party. They seem to have been highly dismissive of the reaction that the party has had to the launch on Sunday. So it looks as though it will be more of the same, but perhaps done in a somewhat different style. The format might change, but the script basically remains the same. And if that is what they want to do, then so be it. We'll wait to see the repercussions of that, whether it works for them or not.
I think that one of the things that we need to start hearing more from the DLP platform is what what plans they have for Barbados going forward. And I think that's important given the fact that the Barbados Labour Party launched had their manifesto launched at Kingston on Thursday. And they at least put their cards on the table what they want to do, especially Ms. Motley when she made the point that if there's a need to go to the IMF, that they will do that. And we've not really heard much discussion about that. So I think that that's one of the things that the DLP would have to be looking at now. Tell Barbadians exactly what they plan.
Well, I think one has to try to read into the strategy that they have adopted. They went on the attack first, then they sought to defend their record, and now on this occasion, this is like the equivalent to, get the sense, and we'll only find out tonight, this may be the equivalent of what was seen as the Haggard Hall meeting.
Yeah.
Because somewhere along the line, remember, it started with how Mr. Thompson took on Mr. Arthur. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to get at the party as a whole, then you have to discredit the head. Now, we have to examine whether the approach has reaped success so far. If it has, why it has? And if it hasn't, what's different? Why is it that it might not be having the same impact, so much so that you're having a further go at it? This may well be part of the strategy from day one, mm-hmm. that you're going to attack at the beginning, attack in the middle, and then come towards the end of the week, what you're going to do is to unveil your own plans.
Yeah.
Now, what I've listened to is the concern which has been expressed in various quarters about the Barbados Labour Party's approach. And some voices have been highlighted. Professor Michael Howard, for instance. There has been discussion, too, about the full impact of this on the NIS. One aspect of it, all right? Because there's a lot more to the Barbados Labour Party manifesto than what we have seen so far, or what has that particular portion that has been singled out. And I'm watching also how they are unveiling their manifesto. They've given you a mini, and they haven't given you the whole yet, right?
Well, the whole is available. It's widely available because it's all over WhatsApp.
Okay.
I think what they've done is to ensure that they can keep costs down. They have the whole thing on online. So as long as you're online, you can get a copy. The thing about the mini manifesto is it's direct, it talks to people directly. In other words, what's in it for you? In fact, they have that section where they identify different sectors and different people working in different areas and say, this is what's in our manifesto for you. I thought that was a good innovation. Because it allows people to read directly into what's in it, you know, for them. But getting back to the strategy of the Democratic Labour Party, I think that you may be onto something there. I think what you're saying has a lot of merit, because it is quite clear that having dealt with Ms. Motley over the next, well, last week and this week, but certainly tonight, they would then be in, and having also tried to defend their record on Wednesday, they would now be in a good position to unleash their own proposals. What is also significant, too, is the choice of locations. You would realize that they were at Bay Street on Wednesday, and now they're at Carlisle Car Park. Now, Carlisle Car Park, we know, is the old stomping ground of the Barbados Labour Party. Okay, and if I remember 2008, the BLP ended in Bay Street, all right? So I find it interesting also for the locations that the DLP they have chosen so far. It's clear that they are under attack and they will not relent, and which makes it very, very interesting. But one of the areas, just as I have the microphone, one of the areas that we have to look at too are the third parties. The UPP, they also had their launch, very small, subdued launch, their 23 candidates yesterday in Independence Square. And Another aspect that I would like us to look at today, do the crowds, the size of the crowds that are attending these events matter? And why this is significant is if you take the element of the streaming out, the fact is that some of the crowds are very, very small at the LP meetings. They're a little larger at the BLP meetings, but does that mean anything?
Well, I think that you need to read a lot into what's going on here, because last night was an example. This occasion, there was a meeting which was being streamed by the DLP. I don't think I ever saw more than 300 people watching, viewing that.
Was the one St. John?
I'm not so sure it was a St. John one, no. As a matter of fact, I don't think any of the St. John ones have been streamed so far as I can recall, from the Democratic Labour Party. But while that was happening, the reports on the crowd at the crowds at the two meetings were significantly different, and it looks as though the Democratic Labour Party is having smaller crowds, it seems, generally speaking, especially to the big meetings, because we gotta be careful with spot meetings. You know, spot meetings tend to be relatively small anyway, and but the bigger meetings, the national meetings, and those that bring all the candidates together, seems as though the BLP is having more of that kind of turnout. And in addition to that, what you're seeing online, the people who are following the campaign online, is also significantly bigger from what I'm seeing. Now, the thing about online is that you don't find yourself in a situation where you have to be guessing. You don't have to say, "Oh, go to the police to find out what is their estimate of the crowd." This is, you know, and people can also, at the same time, you can flood things, you can manipulate things as you see fit as well. So I think that, to me, is a significant difference between this election and previous ones.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
But as it relates, Corey has just joined us. As it relates to the manifesto, the Barbados Labour Party manifesto, I am particularly intrigued by one of the mission critical items. And what they have said here is that they're going to set up these mission critical teams,
yes,
which will be disbanded. They will be given specific timelines to achieve the objectives, and then they will be disbanded. But this one here, dealing with the debt, they say that they are proposing to reprofile the debt by renegotiating the existing obligations. And then they go on to say more. The government spends over $500 million a year on interest payments. Reprofiling the debt will give us elbow room to address the country's mission-critical issues. It will ensure that the burden of economic adjustment is shared fairly and does not, or as is usually the case, fall disproportionately onto workers. Along with other sources of funding and savings, the fiscal space achieved through debt reprofiling will be used to finance an immediate capital works program to cover fixing the South Coast and Bridgetown sewage plants, acquiring additional buses for the Transport Board, addressing problems with garbage collection, providing the equipment necessary for the Ministry of Public Works to embark on an immediate road repair program and cleanup of the country, providing for the expansion of accident and emergency, and the expanded opening hours of two polyclinics. So they are banking on the debt reprofiling as the means by which they are going to answer the question, where are we going to get the money from? And a lot of the discussion, to me, must take that into consideration. If you want to look up this plan, you then have to go delve into the whole notion of debt reprofiling. You know, with whom are they going to meet? How easy is that to achieve? You know that to me is critical.
The thing about debt reprofiling and is that, I mean, the debt remains, but it's like kicking the can further down the road. If you owe somebody $100 million, you'll still owe them $100 million. But instead of paying that $100 million in 7 years, you'll pay them in 12, 15 years. Your interest payments are reduced. So,
and that's what we are fighting for right now, right?
That's reduction. The problem in Barbados, because the fact about it is that we're paying these high interest rates. And the only way that we can reduce these interest rates is if we're in a position where we can get the people who've lent us this money to say, okay, well, we'll extend the repayment period for this loan, and you pay us a small interest. And that has been done. That is now something that's been done. Kenya has done it, and a number of other countries have done this.
Okay.
So it's not certainly not novel. It is the thing that's done. And although just think of a person who owes money to different places here in Barbados, and they have to think about all these debts they have. They will try to go to a credit union
and consolidate
their debts. I mean, it's something similar to that. And then so you get your elbow room.
Okay, we've got Dennis Johnson with us and Corey Lane. Their thoughts on where this campaign is going so far. Each one is pointing at the other.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to say, I want to join in giving special good morning to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day, of course, to my wife and all the females in my life and all of you women out there. I want to pick up the discussion, though, from the numbers. And why I find the numbers so interesting is because at the end of the day, it is all about the numbers, the person who captures the most votes. That is really the objective at the end of this exercise. And I want to agree with the point in relation to the manipulation of numbers. If the sort of numbers that we are seeing and we are discussing, what would happen is we would see an overwhelming victory for the Barbados Labour Party. Because you look at the streaming, and as David mentioned, sometimes you will see 300. And when you look at the Barbados Labour Party in the streaming, you see 3,000. Now, I am fully aware that you can purchase likes. So you can actually go online, and there are certain sites that allow you to purchase likes. So that can be a manipulation. When I look at the polls, like Loop News had a poll out recently, and I was noticing that the numbers, they had the Barbados Labour Party with 63%, the DLP with 8%. The UPP with 4%, Solution Barbados with 3%, and 18% staying at home. And when I noticed it, I said to myself, again, this could be manipulation. But I want to turn the attention, though, of persons who may get caught up with the numbers to the 2016 election in the United States. Now, I remember a discussion, the debate on CNN and BBC, and they would have cried out with the fact that they could not get any Trump supporters to come into the studio at all to get involved in debates. No one wanted to support Trump because it was the unpopular thing to do. People highlighted and assessed after the election that the media was very favorable to liberal thought. And I believe that we are in danger probably here in Barbados of something similar, where it is unpopular to be seen as supporting the Democratic Labour Party. So when you go online, you have, yes, the Dale Worlds, the Chulang Searles, the Lisa Moores, and so on. And on the other side, you have the Kevon and the David Bynos and so on. But when you check generally the comment on social media...
I'm gonna have to interrupt you there. We come back to you because we want to just cross over to hear some of the opening arguments which are being presented to the
CCJ.
Caribbean Court of Justice on this hearing to clarify the right to vote in Barbados. So let's cross over to see, listen a little bit to what is being said here before the president.
Acknowledge in court in the open matter, in the other matter, that the documents have been served. And copies given to him.
Well, I think they're in the early stages of these presentations. It looks as though Leslie Haynes attorney at law is on his feet. And we'll see if we can get back there. But, you know, these opening proceedings can be pretty long anyhow. They might take up most of our program. You were saying...
Yes, Corey. I was just finishing the point that if we pay a lot of attention to the numbers, we may be misled. Because this reminds me definitely 2013 election. There was just definitely a sentiment, a very anti-government sentiment out there. And lots of people have been very surprised that they would have been able to come home again, although barely. And I think that there are a lot of people who still support the Democratic Labour Party, but it is just not popular to do so. And that's why you may not be hearing and seeing them. When I made that point, I look back again to the stream, because you can stream privately, so you should be seeing higher numbers. So again, that's why I say that's the ticklish part in there, very technical part in there. And that's, I just want to start with that in relation to the numbers.
Well, you know, you need to measure that against what the Barbadian experience has been over the years, though. I mean, I don't know. When's the last time we had that kind of situation here in Barbados, where people were reluctant to turn out to meetings of a political party and then produce the surprise? Have you seen that in our lifetime, Sanka? Using Trump as an example in the context of Barbados, yes, that's their reality, but we need to then apply that to the Barbadian experience. What have you seen?
No. When I think about change and the unpopularity of a government, I remember 1986 election and the 1994 poll. Those were the two in particular that I recall very, very well. And I remember in 86, you know, it was a case that you really wanted to get rid of the Barbados Labour Party, you know. And people were talking about it. There was this momentum that you were feeling on the ground. You felt it. And of course, remember we had the Trinidad election as well.
And the question is this, right? At what stage have you ever seen, when you compare what you're seeing at DLP meetings now with the traditional DLP support, one of the questions you need to address is, how different is it, if it is indeed different? Because he implied in what Corey is saying is that there is a recognition that there is a stark difference in turnout. Mm-hmm. And if that is so, have we had any example similar to this in previous years where the Democratic Labour Party is concerned? I don't remember it.
No, I don't. Neither do I.
I compare it to 2013 because I remember the BLP had way larger numbers in 2013 than the Democratic Labour Party. The Democratic Labour Party was very unpopular in 2013 on the ground and also at the meetings. I think it's less now. You see,
what do you mean?
The less support for the Democratic Labour Party in relation to numbers going out to their meetings. But also in 2013, I remember the Barbados Labour Party would have had this momentum going. The same thing happened, the same style. It was a case where I remember we said that the Barbados Labour Party was shadow boxing. They were in the ring boxing alone. They had the people's assemblies. They started to drum up a lot of momentum and a lot of support. And late in the game, the sleeping giant was awoken. And then I remember the former Prime Minister Owen Alpha saying, you know, there's a time in the election when Dems become Dems again. And only late into the election, I remember they starting to get their base all geared up and ready to go. So it was really making a comparison between 2013 and now, and also 2016 in the United States and the final outcome.
Good morning. And let me join my fellow moderators in wishing Happy Mother's Day to the ladies, the mothers, the mothers-in-law, and those who act as mothers, whether they're aunts, grandmothers, or otherwise. Happy Mother's Day to you. And let me also welcome Peter Wickham to the group sitting here in the studio. He apparently had to take somebody to early lunch. Church. Okay. All right. So I apologize on your behalf. A couple of things. One, I am disappointed at a number of levels at the campaign so far. One, Barbados is in what I consider to be a serious economic and indeed, I think, social point in its life. It's a serious place to be. And I would have thought that this campaign would have been based on the way forward. There is far too much still. I know political meetings are supposed to drum up the base, and I suppose the base likes personal attacks. I don't see the way forward in it. There's been a launch of a manifesto. Some analysis has been done, but the analysis I've heard so far seems to be more of why this can't work and why that can't work. Unfortunately, I think the economic society in Barbados is split along political lines, and people usually question who's making the comment as opposed to whether there's validity to the comment. I'm especially disappointed so far in the response of the Democratic Labour Party to the challenges we face as a country. I hear what Corey talks about, the base will rally at the right time. I don't recall, again, in my political life, the base being afraid to support the party in office. They're usually a little hesitant to support the opposition, unless, you know, they feel that the opposition is on the rise. My biggest disappointment, I must admit, my biggest disappointment has been the personal attacks and the response of the females on the Democratic Labour Party ticket. It is not good enough to say it is politics. Today is Mother's Day. I heard the comments of Mr. Estwick, Dr. Estwick. I mean, here's a man who has daughters, a mother, a wife. And you have the Minister of Labour, Dr. Esther Bayosuku, who's a mother, and who brought to Parliament a bill about sexual harassment. I can't look at a woman and make comments about her person in a lustful manner, but you could tell me I can cuss my mother. I have a serious problem with that. And I think the challenge is ensuring that in the personal attacks, you don't turn off a segment of the population. And females in this country have had for the longest while, regardless of their bad behavior, regardless of the wrong side of them, and we know that they have a wrong side to females, they have enjoyed a level of comfort in this country. I am not saying that because the leader of the opposition is a female, must treat her with kid's gloves. She's a politician, yes, but we have to understand where the line is and who draws it. First thing. Secondly, I think we're wasting too much time on personalities and not discussing the way ahead. And I've read some of the manifesto, not all of it. And I'm still looking for the pillars on which we will take the economy forward and lift our sources of income. And that is going to be crucial. Rescheduling debt, yes. Debt profiling, reprofiling, yes. Putting people back to work, yes. What I see the challenge as being, and this is me, the challenge is getting the population to go from I want, I want, I want, to I can, I can, I can, I give, I give, I give. And until we get to the stage where we begin to earn our way, as opposed to saying we're looking for direct foreign investment or simply rescheduling debt, getting revenue from taxation is not growth. Is getting money to spend. Now, what you spend it on is going to be crucial. So how you put non-productive land back into production, how you get non-productive people to produce, how you change the structure of the private sector, the public sector, and how you deliver goods and services in a timely manner is crucial going forward. So the personal attacks not lifting my agenda, and that's my agenda. And my thoughts.
Peter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was listening with great interest to a lot of what was said this morning, especially Corey's comparative between 2013 and 2016, because I think as we move into the final 2 weeks now, that's really the question that's being asked of me before, you know, what differs now from the 2016 election, which clearly had a buzz in favor of Clinton and in the United States. Oh. And then the 2013 election in Barbados, which seemed to have had a buzz. And my sense is that the comparative base is somewhat different. In many ways, the 2013 election was like the 1971 election in Barbados, and the outcome was probably similar. And my thing is, it's all really about the numbers and the margins, and I think that the margins at this stage are so narrow in so many different places. that I think this is what will make the difference. And then the other thing too is that it appears to me that the swing in favor of the Barbados Labour Party is considerably higher this time around than it was last time. There were still some sentiments, and I could think of particular people that I speak to last time who appeared to be unwilling to move. And I think that a lot of those this time have either adopted a position that, you know, they will either not participate or alternatively they've thrown in their hat on the other side. So that to me is one of the distinguishing features. Now, remember, United States of America, their election was not popular, and certainly at the popular level, Hillary Clinton won by a significant margin. We also don't have a popular election in Barbados, so, you know, a similar situation can arise. But my question is, which are the constituencies that we're going to flip to, or alternatively, which are the constituencies that the DLP is going to retain, and which are the ones they're going to catch back in order to ensure that they can remain in office if they're going to pull off a Donald Trump scenario as in the United States? And I'm still struggling to identify which ones. As far as the campaign has been concerned, I support Dennis's comments totally about the mudslinging. I'm particularly disappointed with the response that I heard from Dr. Esther Bayasuku. I haven't heard Irene Sandefur-Garner yet speak to the man in the treatment, but her suggestion that Mia Motley is not representative of women in Barbados, and I don't know if she isn't, then who is? So that worries me, and I think that in a sense, Dr. Bayasuku and Irene Sandefur-Garner ought in a way to celebrate the achievement of Mia Motley, because I think that as a politician, she has been outstanding in ways that the Democratic Labour Party has struggled to identify a woman who has been. And that, to me, worries me that instead of celebrating the achievements of a fellow female politician, you know, there is this rush to judgment, which I find is somewhat distasteful. The manifestos, to me, have raised an important discussion, and I think it's important that the Barbados Labour Party be forced to explain how they'll be financing their proposals. I was looking forward to a robust conversation about that on the DLP's platform this week. I don't think that has materialized, but certainly there are some legitimate questions that have to be asked about, you know, where they're going to finance all of this from. I listened this morning to Sanka talking about the whole concept of reprofiling, and I'm realizing that conspicuously absent from the manifesto is an initiative to get back to this whole question of privatization. Because certainly, if you're saying that we are asset rich and cash poor, one of the ways of dealing with that situation is to convert some of the assets into cash. So we get back to the argument that I was so comfortable with last election, where we talked about disposing of assets like the airport, disposing of assets like the seaport, and using some of that money to set aside the considerable debt that you have gained over time. And that, in a sense, is better than profiling, because it means that you no longer have the debt, period.
But you need to have both.
Well, but the point is that I don't know that the manifesto is speaking to the latter.
Well, whether so, it speaks to it or not, yeah, you and I, we agree that you need to look at both.
So maybe a criticism can be the fact that the manifesto doesn't speak to that. However, maybe the BLP is being guided by the experience last time and decided that, look, we're not going to speak to it, because it may very well be controversial, and what we do when we if we gain office is that we will pursue some of those initiatives as well.
Okay, we're coming right back to this edition of Brass Tacks Sunday, coming to you in association with the compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials. So building supplies, big or small, and Brilliant
Metals, we have it all. And Brilliant Metals, we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Brass Tack Sunday. We want to go next to Shane Lowe, the president of the Barbados Economic Society, because they're getting ready to have a discussion tomorrow with representatives of the major political parties. And we want to tell you that we're going to bring that discussion live here on Down to Brass Tacks from 10 o'clock in the morning until about 12 o'clock. And then Shane Lowe will join us here in the studio to continue a focus on it. Mr. Lowe, the issues that you and the Barbados Economic Society consider to be particularly important as we look at the economy of Barbados, and what do we really want to hear from these political parties? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, David. Good morning to your team and good morning to Barbados. So certainly immediately, the first thing that jumps out would be plans to deal with the falling foreign exchange reserves. So over the first quarter of this year, the reserves did rise relative to the last quarter of last year, but that is not uncommon, right? And actually that increase over the first quarter was less or almost half of the increase in the previous first quarter from 2017. The challenge is that in the latter three quarters of the year, you tend to see over the last couple of years declines in the reserves of the magnitude of over 250 million Barbados dollars, even up to 300 million. So with upcoming debt payments, certainly some plan to either bring in foreign financing or to restrict the demand for goods and services is going to be necessary to actually stabilize those reserves and put them on a positive trajectory. So that means that the government, whichever new government comes into place, is going to need to have fiscal and or financing policies that are consistent with that objective. So like I said, the fiscal measures need to be those that either constrain the demand for imports, so that might mean, as an example, greater taxes, or, as we would probably prefer to see, cuts to non-interest expenditure.
Are we seeing any of this play out in the manifestos before us so far, and in particular, the Barbados Labour Party manifesto?
Well, on the fiscal side, a lot of the policies we've seen so far seem to be more on the expansionary side. So, for example, the removal of the NSRL, which has to date had a dampening effect on imports as well as economic activity. So that would more increase economic activity, the removal of the NSRL and imports rather than reduce imports. Now, what you would need to do on the other side, if you're going to do things like that, is that you're going to need to have some foreign exchange coming in, some financing coming in to offset that. So that either means you're going to boost foreign investment so that you have foreign capital coming in, or you're going to have to engage some multilateral agency or some cheaper form of borrowing to finance that inevitable increase in imports.